This is an AMI podcast. This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Danielle McLaughlin, Kelly McDonald, host of the program. Welcome back to Kelly and Company. We're here weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. First, repeated the show at 5, then midnight, 5 a.m. in the morning Eastern time. Just in case you can't be with us for the live show, I know you do your best, but come on. You can't always be here. Danielle's at the home studio in Toronto. Kelly McDonald here at the home studio in London, Ontario. And I think we got to look overseas a little bit right now, Danielle, as we bring in a real old and wonderful friend of ours that joins us on the show, our bestie from the UK, Fern Lulham.
What's on your mind? I'm Fern Lulham from the UK, and whether serious, silly, or somewhere in between, I've got you covered. Let's face it, the most effective therapy is a chat with your bestie.
Well, lately, conversations, Danielle, with our bestie here, Fern, have been pretty serious. Lots going on over there. And today we're going to be talking to Fern about her recent eye surgery and the impact that frequent hospital appointments and surgery can have on relationships. Fern, first of all, let's get caught up here. What has happened with treatment on your eye since 2 weeks ago when we chatted?
Yes. Well, Kelly, I got to tell you, lots has been going on. It feels like forever ago that we chatted. And that is probably because I've had another operation. So if you listened to my last segment, which of course, I'm sure you did. If you didn't, where were you? But I'll let you know what happened. Basically, you'll know that I have very little vision in either of my eyes. I mean, if you know anything about me, you know this. But my right eye is the one that I rely on the most. That's hardcore fans know that about Fern, which eye? You know, it's like a trivia quiz. It's the right eye is the answer. Following the corneal graft that I had on my left eye, which I had about a month ago now, the pressure in my right eye from my glaucoma has now gone really, really high because that's another associated condition. Yes, to my condition aniridia. So that was the last thing I needed when I went for a checkup on the corneal transplant that I just had for them to say, oh, well, your left eye's all right, but now your right eye is not so good pressure-wise. So that was a complete disaster. And my hope was that it might just reduce itself, and the doctors were hoping that it would, but unfortunately it did not. So last Friday, nonetheless, I had yet another operation to insert a little tiny stent into my right eye to reduce the pressure and to protect my optic nerve.
Wow, Fern, you have really been through the mill, haven't you?
Yes.
Can you tell us a bit about this operation? It sounds very interesting, actually.
Yeah, so the glaucoma affects both of my eyes. And as I mentioned in my last segment last time, I had a valve put into my left eye a few years ago to reduce the pressure in that eye. And initially, that caused me quite a lot of problems because I had really bad inflammation, so bad that it actually burned a hole into the back of my eye. This is how critical that inflammation was. It was very painful at the time. And they actually had to end up redoing the operation because it just completely failed because of this inflammation. But now, however, a few years on, that was 2014, now 2021, advancements have been made. And so now far less invasive stents can be put into your eye. So that bypassed all of that inflammation. These stents are about the size of a human hair. Kelly, I know you're big on human hair, and you'll remember
how thin that is. the thin part I can relate to.
I know that you know about hair thinness. So that was put into my right eye instead of the valve that was put into my left eye a few years ago. And so far it seems to be going okay, but that meant that the risk of inflammation would be far less because it was a less invasive operation, but still scary nonetheless.
So I think about it in the sense of what you said earlier, your right eye being the stronger of the two eyes. My left eye is that. Not that I have a lot of vision left. So has the operation affected that vision in that right eye?
Yeah. And that was the thing that I was most panicking about, to be honest. I've had a lot of operations on my left eye in the past. And so this being a less invasive operation, I was less worried about, you know, the pain and the kind of the rigmarole of the right. operation. But the fact was that I knew my sight would be reduced in this left eye. And of course, if you have any operation like this where they're poking and prodding around in your eye, it's very likely to reduce what vision you do have. So I've been told that for a few weeks, about 2 to 3 weeks, my vision will be reduced, but it should after that return to the very little vision that I had before that, but I had a little bit more than I do now. So right now I can see even less than I could before. So I'm just hoping that as it heals and as I get better, my sight will come back and, you know, I've just got everything crossed, including my eyes, that that will happen.
Oh my goodness. Well, it's obvious that the past few weeks have been awfully stressful, Fern. You've had a corneal graft on your left eye and now this latest operation on your right eye. Now, we know that you're a great one for talking about relationships. So what's your advice to couples when one of them is facing the sort of challenges you are?
Yeah, I mean, a great one for talking in general, I think. But yes, talking about relationships too.
It's very important.
It is. And to be honest with you, Danielle, I think it's a really important question, that, because I think getting support from the important people in your life, this is something that I've really realized recently. It does just make all the difference. I know it sounds very cheesy and very cliche, but, you know, having that support just makes you feel like you can get through this. And it really means the world. So the first thing that I'd say is that you can learn a lot about a relationship when the tough times come, right? It's easy to be happy when everything's going well, but when the rough, the rough things set in and all of the kind of bad things in life hit the fan, you yes. can see that what the relationship is really like, and it sort of tests your relationship. So if you're the one facing the challenges, you can think about, does your partner willingly change their plans to support you? Do they take time off of work to be there? Are they just there in general? Are they affectionate? Are they caring? Are they showing that they support you in this? And do the things that they say make you feel more relaxed about it and more at ease? Or do they actually make you feel more anxious and more panicked about what you've got to do in terms of the operation? Just, it's a good time to pay attention to how your partner is acting and reacting and behaving. And that shows kind of the strength of your relationship and how good you are together, I think.
What about the other partner in the relationship?
Yes, yeah, well, that's a good point, Kelly. I mean, I often think about myself, and of course, I've got to think about Josh, my lovely partner as well. And just because you're the one going through it, the other partner, of course, is facing a big thing too, because they're stressed, they're worrying about you. We hope that they care very much and they really want everything to go all right for you. So it's, you know, it's important to remember that they need some support as well. And if right. you can stay positive for them, that is going to help you both. But also make sure you appreciate their support, because it's really easy to take it for granted. And especially, I can speak from personal experience, when you're going through something and you are very frustrated, especially like this, where you've got very reduced vision, for example, it is emotionally very difficult. You can become angry, you can become snappy, you can just want to do stuff that you all of a sudden can't do. And you can take that out on your partner. I'm going to first hold my hands up and say, I've probably been a bit more snappy to Josh than I should have been over the time. But you know, give them a hug, set, you know, maybe get them a little gift or something just to show your appreciation that you do love them really. And you do really, you know, everything they do means a lot to you. And I think that can really go a long way to showing that you're a good team together.
But what if a challenge like this or other big challenge shows that the relationship is not as supportive as it ought to be?
Yeah, again, I mean, I think these type of things can really make or break a relationship. You know, on the good side, it can make your relationship stronger if you can get through it. But of course, like you say, Danielle, if it's the other side of that and it shows the cracks in your relationship, I think this is where communication comes into play. And I think it's really important that you talk these things through. If you're not feeling supported, if you're worrying about how to support your partner, maybe you don't quite understand what they're going through and you don't mm-hmm. know how to approach it, just talk to them, you know, be vulnerable, be open, just admit, you know, hey, I've never been through this. I don't know. Just explain to me what you're going through and how can I help you? If you're worrying about what do I do, ask them, you know, they're going to tell you. And that's going to be the best way that you can work together. And if it shows that there are things in your relationship that it brings up that you can't overcome, maybe that is something to think about. And if you can't talk it through, that's a red flag in itself, because you should be able to have that open communication. So really pay attention to these little things. But if you can get through it and you can have this communication and see that the partner has the best of intentions, because most of the time it is just little miscommunications with things and it's not done maliciously. And so if that is the case, then you can overcome these things and the problems, you know, will just right themselves. You will get through it. And if talking doesn't solve your problems, then, you know, maybe you do need to ask yourself if this is the right person, but hopefully it is. And hopefully you can work through it together.
Have you felt supported in this difficult time?
Oh, Kelly, that's a risky question. I don't know if Josh is listening to this.
Well, the thing is, if you say the wrong thing, I guess your podcast is gone.
That's the end of the support as well. I mean, yeah, no, definitely. And my partner, he's been a dream, especially if you're listening, Josh. Thank you so much. No, he genuinely, I find it hard not to sound sarcastic when I say sincere things like this, but he has been there. He has taken me to the hospital. We had to sit because of social distancing and whatnot. We were put in the children's play area. I think they just took one look at us and were like, yep, you over there. So he read the books to me in the children's play area to keep me entertained, keep my mind off things. And I have to say, it worked a dream. I could not fault him for that. So he's been my rock. I don't know what I would do without him. Thank goodness for Josh.
Oh, that's very nice. And what about the hospital? Do you feel that you had support from the hospital?
Of course, they let her sit in the play area.
Well, they didn't put her
exactly.
in the ball room.
I mean, if that's
least.
Not support... I don't know what is. Again, I am very lucky. I've mentioned on the show before that the Queen Victoria Hospital in East Grinstead, where I go, they have some of the world's most amazing eye surgeons and experts. And not only do they have people who really know what they're doing in their craft, but they also have such wonderful, supportive, friendly, great bedside manners. You know, it's every time you go there, it's like going to see a bunch of old friends or family members. They all know me like the back of their hand. Like, oh, Fern, oh, it's you again. Oh, I saw you 2 days ago. Yes, it's me. So, and it's great. It just feels like you're going to see people that really care about you. And for me, that makes all the difference. A friendly smile and a bit of a joke and a bit of a laugh, that gets you through the worst times, doesn't it? Laughter is the best medicine, like they say.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I'm sure they give a great dose of that on all their prescriptions, too. I saw the interaction on Twitter with the hospital yourself, especially after your last segment. So it sounds wonderful. It's quite a story. And we've spoken about the relationship angle. But what personal lessons have you learned?
Yeah, well, I know that lots of listeners will probably be facing similar things in life, and that might be medical, it might be appointments, but it might just be life's challenges. You know, you might be going through relationship problems or work problems, whatever it may be. We're all going through something, aren't we? So what I would say is that even in the darkest times, there is always hope. So it's easy to say, stay positive. And a lot of people will tell you, oh, just be positive. And sometimes that's the hardest thing to do. And sometimes you just can't do it. So I would say, go easy on yourself. You can't always be positive, but you can always have hope. Because even if this week is a nightmare, next week might be a dream. And that's something that I found. I've been through a lot of operations over the past few years, which especially if you listen to my last segment, you will know. But also during that time, I've been able to, you know, have loads of fun with Kelly and the gang and Danielle and all of these lovely people on AMI. I've, you know, been able to do lots of broadcast work. I did a TEDx talk. I met Josh. I got Nancy, all of these wonderful things that have also happened. So it's always good to remember that there's always a flip side. And even in your darkest times, there is a light at the end of even the longest tunnel, and you will get there.
The sugar that's used to help the medicine go down, right?
Absolutely. Just call me Mary Poppins. I basically am. And I've got a bag big enough as well.
As usual, Fern, awesome. Appreciate, as I said to you last time, so much sharing and so open, and we appreciate it. And definitely, I'm sure it'll help many of us out there listening in. Thank you.
My pleasure, my dears. Have a lovely show.
Fern Lulham joins us every other Thursday for UK Disability Highlights. Really wonderful. And I think, Danielle, that's the big thing, how open, how honest and we can be, not just to ourselves, because that's important, but to everybody that we're sharing that with. And it helps people.
We all need
forward.
A bit of Fern Lulham, don't we?
Sounds so wonderful, right? To just have that kind of openness, frank talk. We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen. When we return, we learn about ladies' own transport services as we visit with their CEO, Joni Fredericks. Stand by. You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.